comes a dime in your prime. Didn't you? People called, say beware, dawn, you're bound to fall. You thought they were all just kidding you.
And good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Friday, July the 7th, 2017 edition of The American Awakening. I'm your host, Michael Herzog, and I'll be with you for the next 2 hours. A couple of things. It's going to be an open line tonight, 800-313-9443, call in, vent, rant, ask a question, give an answer, whatever you want to do. It's going to be really relaxed tonight. A couple of things I want to mention before I get started. Medicaid. I know a couple people that are on Medicaid for sad reasons. You know, they had to stoop to getting assistance because of one thing or another in their life. And when you apply for Medicaid, you have to jump through a whole bunch of hoops. Like any other bureaucracy, any government agency, you have to answer a whole bunch of questions and prove that you need it and show your ID and do all these good things. So I went into the website yesterday, and I decided that I'd apply for it just to see what they were asking for. And they were basically looking up my hiney with a microscope. And about midway through it, I just quit. I said, you know what? I don't need Medicaid anyway, so I'm not going to do this. But you might ask, why would I do this? Why would I even bother? Well, I'm going to answer that question for you. For many of you know, or some of you know, I put my mobile home up for sale, and I was moving some things around. I have a sofa, a pretty decent sofa, outside my mobile home, in case I want to go out there and just watch the sunrise or whatever, you know. And so I was moving some stuff around, and I happened to move my sofa outside of my trailer about 2 feet to put it up closer to the steps. And lo and behold, under my sofa, I found a Medi-Cal card. Now, as I said, in order to get Medi-Cal or Medicaid, and it's different in different states. I think in Arizona it's called Access. In California it's called Medi-Cal. In Indiana it's something else. But it's all the same thing. It's all Medicaid. And many times when you apply for this, you also get a certain amount of food stamps per month. In the case of one individual that I know, she happens to get $180 a month in food stamps. So anyway, as I move the sofa, lo and behold, I reach down and I pick up this Medi-Cal card. Now, as I said, in order to get a Medi-Cal card, you have to prove who you are. You have to show an ID. Now, why am I saying this? Because you might recall a couple of weeks ago when I was running around crazy with my head cut off, made a trip all the way out to California to pick somebody up because he didn't have an ID, and I couldn't wire him any money to get on a bus and get to Arizona. So I had to drive all the way to Sunset Boulevard in Hollywood and pick him up because, according to him, he didn't have an ID. I put 3,000 miles on my car because of this guy on 2 different trips. This guy I'm talking about, and I'm going to mention his name now on the air because Brian J. Brown, I'm sitting here looking at your Medi-Cal card, and if you want to have any medical treatment done back in California, where I picked you up, you might want to have this card because you left it under my couch, which tells me that everything you told me about not having an ID or a way to identify yourself was nonsense. It was a lie, and I'm calling you out on it. Do you see fools scraped across my forehead? I spent almost $1,000 in that endeavor trying to get that man up to speed and get him to the network, have him do some IT work, and this is the 5th lie I caught him in. Anyway, enough of that. Just thought I'd throw that out there for you. Phone lines are open tonight, 800-313-9443. I sold my mobile home. How about that? So I'm going to be moving. You know, I mentioned a few nights ago on the air that the owner of this particular park was doing some not-so-great things to people, and I just got notification from the park that they approved the person that I sold the home to, but they're not going to let me, they're not going to let her move in until I paint the home, which to me is illegal. I'll be checking into that over the weekend. But that being said, again, I'll get off that. That's negative stuff. and of course, we all know that everything that comes out of Republic Broadcasting is all positive stuff. Mer Bailey, thank you. I just happened to drop into my website tonight, and I see that you've put a couple of links for me to read about. I heard Mike Rivero a little bit today talking about Jeanette Finnicum at the Red Pill Expo in Bozeman, Montana, talking about Lavoie Finnicum. And I guess Lord Monckton is warning the BLM that your days are numbered. So what is it, on the 15th of July, Lord Monckton and Roger Stone and a number of other people are actually going out to Las Vegas, and maybe something will happen over that. Now, I don't remember. I did text Eric yesterday, and I called the courthouse in Eugene, Oregon, and I don't know whether Eric announced it or not, but Tom Lacovara's change of plea hearing has been moved from the 6th of July, which was yesterday, to the 11th of July at 9 a.m. So I'll keep you updated on that, and we'll find out what happens to him on the 11th of July in the afternoon, because I always give him a few hours to do what they got to do, and then I call him. So that being said, let's shift gears here and go into... Did you know that up to half of the people that we have deployed in our armed forces are not really armed forces personnel at all, but they are contractors? They are mercenaries. How about that? I didn't know that. And I ran across this. I'm going to share it with you. Let's see. yes, Merle Bailey, Brian J. Brown. Ah, yes, Brian J. Brown as a Medi-Cal card. She just typed something in my chat room. Brian J. Brown has a Medi-Cal card, and in order to get one of these little jewels, you got to show him an ID. Enough of that. Anyway, America's addiction to mercenaries. A shout out to Pat in Arkansas. Before I go into this, let's go to Tom in Florida. Tom, you're on with Michael. Go ahead. How are you?
Good evening, Michael. First off, you're talking about Medicaid and all that in California and Arizona. First off, what is it, 117 in Phoenix today or something? The madness over there.
Yes, I think so. Something like that.
Yeah, it's very hot in Arizona. But I was looking at the news about Illinois. Illinois, whatever you want to call the state, the madness of this, the democratic state of Illinois, Chicago, with 100 murders over the weekend, and the taxes have gone off the roof. That's the highest tax place after California and New York. And the reason I'm calling is, what are these people going to do that once they cut the food stamps over there in Illinois? And I see they have a video out where all these people are threatening Trump because he's going to take away the food stamps, and they point all these guns out. And what is going on here? Can you imagine that would have happened under Sotero Obama, a bunch of white guys jumping up with guns saying that to Obama? I mean, I saw that on the news, and I'm like, what is going on here with this madness of these Democrats, these liberals, these schweinharts that have destroyed our country? Look at California. Look at Illinois. I mean, it's unbelievable. Jersey, Georgia. I mean, these states are all controlled by Democrats, and they're ready to implode.
No, I know. And, I agree, and the Democrats... The left is up in arms, and John Podesta is coming out with his tweets calling I can't remember what choice names he had for Donald Trump, but they're all jumping and they all have their panties in a bunch because Donald Trump actually shook hands with Vladimir Putin and might get something done, and they're flipping out.
Exactly.
You know? Yeah. I mean, these people are crazy. They don't want peace. They don't want a normal lifestyle for the individual. They want chaos. They want to break the family apart. They want to ruin everything that has been built up by our forefathers for over 200 years, you know, and there's no sanity to it, Tom. You know, I can't answer the question.
Absolutely, Michael, but look at Podesta's brothers in the witchcraft. I mean, a lot of these Democrats are, I guess, in the witchcraft or whatever they're doing, and they're sick. They have an illness, I'm seeing all these. My nephew just called me from the state of Illinois, and he's telling me they're all fleeing. The white people are just fleeing that state like California. They're fleeing, but what are they going to bring, their liberal views to the next state they go to? It's like what's going on with the immigration problem. You're going to bring in a bunch of Mexicans and all that to come to this country to turn this country what they ran away into? I don't get it. And, you know, Trump is trying to do everything in his power to save this country and the world, basically, for that matter. And these liberal zog I don't know what you want to call it, Michael. They just want to totally, like you say, they want to crush the world. They're just trying to crush the world. You got Soros is out there, and you got the
Trump,
it's unbelievable. What's
Tom, the Trump family, Ivanka and Jared Kushner, showed up at a party over the weekend, over the 4th of July weekend that Soros was at. Okay, so
There you go. So I don't trust that Kushner for nothing.
Right.
But
the left, the loony left, is a little bit close to home here with the president of the United States. I have a little bit of optimism, more than I had the other day, that Trump may be able. I believe I heard. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe I heard there was actually going to be a ceasefire in southeast Syria come Sunday,
right?
Because of an agreement that Trump made with Putin. That's a step in the right direction, you know. And that's why the left is outraged. They're absolutely outraged because they've been painting this picture that Vladimir Putin is a demon and a devil all this time. But I mean, look at what they're doing across the board here. You know, just like with what you said, they're driving Illinois down in the toilet. New Jersey, the same thing. Kentucky's on the list. California is on the list. You know, they won't even report. California won't even, and Arizona won't even report what their pension statistics are, you know. So the question is, how badly have these political hacks been robbing the state coffers blind? You know, I don't know. I don't have the answer for you. Yeah.
It's a disaster, Michael. It's a disaster. But it's a disaster in a disaster mode. But I got to say this. First off, you want to talk about Vladimir Putin. Vladimir Putin, I don't know if you notice, he is a nationalist. And I have a friend who happens to be Russian, and he told me they're more capitalist in the state of Russia, in the country of Russia, they are in the United States. They have more capitalism going on now than we do.
Well, they're going on the 1980s narrative before the fall of the USSR, okay? Because, yes, Russia is a capitalist nation. They are what we used to be, okay? They have more freedoms than we do. Right. Right.
I totally agree.
And the narrative that's put out on the lamestream media is that they don't want the people to know that. They want them to continue to believe that Russia is the bad bear, that's the demon, you know, blah, blah, blah. That goes back to the 80s and the 90s, okay? That's all over with. It's all done with. The Russian government is no different than our government. As a matter of fact, it's probably a little bit better with less regulations than our government.
Absolutely. And, Michael, talking about keeping on the state of California with that moonbeam clown Brown they got out there, this guy knows that state is on the brink of bankruptcy. He's allowing he wants to turn the whole state into a sanctuary state. And if I'm not mistaken, isn't that against the law? And shouldn't he be rounded up and put in jail?
Because you're going
against the federal government, Brown, you clown.
Yes, he should be put in prison. All of these people that are running these
sanctuary cities. All those demo rats out there with those sanctuary cities, that's against the federal constitution of this country. And Trump is the one that has the power. Trump has the power that with one swipe of the pen to say, I am going to have all of you politicians out in the state of California and Illinois arrested for what you're doing with this sanctuary city crap. They can be arrested overnight. He could have the feds go in and arrest all of them.
Well, maybe at some point he will.
The president of the United States.
Maybe at some point he will. We can only hope. I got to run, man. I got some
Michael,
stuff I got to report.
God bless you. Have a great show. God bless you, man.
All right. You're thanks, great, Tom. Man. I appreciate it. Okay. Yes, that was a good rant. Anybody else want to call in rants? Okay. It's Friday night. This is a story put out by Sean McFate. And he says a decade ago, he found himself in a precarious position. He was in Burundi, sipping a Coke with a Domitian Ndayizeye, yeah, okay, the country's then president, U.S. Ambassador Jim Yellen, and several others. He said that we had an emerging catastrophe on our hands because 10 years earlier, the Rwandan genocide left a trail of ash and tears in its wake, claiming 800,000 lives in 90 days, nearly a soul a minute. And since then, Rwanda had recovered, but neighboring Burundi remained at war with itself, ravaged by infighting with Hutus massacring Tutsis and vice versa. And in 2004, the United States had intelligence that Hutu extremists wanted to trigger a new genocide that would end Tutsis once and for all. My job, he says, in collaboration with everyone sipping Cokes in the president's living room, was to prevent this without anyone outside the room knowing it was a U.S.-led effort. and succeed we did. The Hutu rebels attacked the capital in November of 2004 in an attempt to assassinate the president and spark mass killing. A fierce night battle erupted in the streets of Bujumbura, and the extremists were killed or beaten back into the jungles of the Congo. What made his presence in that room notable, he was not a member of the CIA, nor was he a covert U.S. military operative or a government employee. He came instead from the private sector, a contractor to many, a mercenary to some. Now, Burundi was but one of his numerous assignments. He helped raise a new army in Liberia. He bought and shipped weapons from Eastern Europe to Africa and shaped the environment in different places. His experience was hardly a unique one and has actually grown more common in the years since he left Burundi. U.S. Special Operations Forces, for instance, have contractors working in Syria, performing tasks ranging from intelligence analysis to war zones, logistics, and possibly training foreign fighters, as they once did in Iraq. Now, President Obama prepared to hand off combat operations in Iraq, Afghanistan, Syria, and elsewhere to his successor. He also bequeathed a way of war that relies on large numbers of guns for hire, while at least formally restricting the number of American troops sent overseas. And since 2009, the ratio of contractors to troops in war zone has increased from 1-1 to about 3-1. Private military contractors perform tasks once thought to be inherently governmental, such as raising foreign armies, conducting intelligence analysis, and trigger pulling. And during the Iraq and the Afghan wars, they constituted about 15% of all contractors. But don't let the numbers fool you. Their failures have an outsized impact on U.S. strategy. When a squad of Blackwater contractors killed 17 civilians at a Baghdad traffic circle back in 2007, it provoked a firestorm in Iraq and at home, marking one of the nadirs of that war. Contractors also encourage mission creep, because contractors, get this folks, contractors don't count as boots on the ground. Congress does not consider them to be troops, and therefore, contractors do not count again troop-level caps in places like Iraq. The United States government does not track contractor numbers in war zones, and as a result, the government can put more people on the ground than it reports to the American people, encouraging mission creep and rendering contractors virtually invisible. And for decades now, the centrality of contracting in America warfare, both on the battlefield and in support of those on the battlefield, has been growing. And during World War II, about 10% of America's armed forces were contracted. During the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan, that proportion leapt to 50%. This big number signals a disturbing trend. The United States has developed a dependency on the private sector to wage war, a strategic vulnerability today. America can no longer go to war without the private sector. Well, why did this happen? During the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan, the policymakers assumed a quick and easy victory. And as former Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld of aspartame fame said back in 2002, the Iraq war would take 5 days or 5 weeks or 5 months, but it certainly isn't going to last any longer than that. And when these wars did not end in mere months, the all-volunteer force found it could not recruit enough volunteers to sustain two long wars. That left policymakers with three terrible options. First, withdraw and concede the fight to the terrorists. Well, that one was unthinkable. And second, institute a Vietnam-like draft to fill the ranks. Political suicide. Or third, bring in contractors to fill the ranks. And not surprisingly, both the Bush and Obama administrations opted for the contractors. We're going to break. We'll be back in three. I've got more to come. Stick around. I'll see you on the other side. It's too late to make it right. I probably wouldn't if I could. Cause I'm mad as hell. Can't bring myself to do what it is you think.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
American Awakening. Michael Herzog, your host, coming to you live from the Valley of the Sun and the heat of the sun in the Valley of the Sun. Before I get back to this, there's an announcement, breaking news that I'm going to get to in just a minute. Before I do that, let's go to Ken in Fort Worth. Ken, you're on with Michael. How you doing?
Michael, this Sunday is going to be a show on History Channel about Amelia Earhart.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I remember seeing something about that. And they've got this picture.
8 p.m. Central.
Okay, wait just a minute.
2 hours. Yeah. Anyway, there's a book called Amelia Earhart Lives by Joel Klass, K-L-A-S-S. Let's roll back a little bit. Well, Gary Powers was shot down 1 May, 60. And behind him was a guy by the name of Kitchens flying a U-2. Anyway, in the book he says he went inside of a hangar in California and sold Amelia Earhart's airplane crashed in California in a mountain, and he got to it and he cut out the nameplate. That nameplate that was on there belonged to her, which begs the question, like, whose plane was she flying when she went there? I bet they made one up and was modified and left her sitting in the hangar.
Wow, I don't know. History Channel, 8 o'clock Central Sunday night. Well, I'll be watching that because I saw a clip. They've got a picture, I guess, of her and Fred Noonan sitting on a dock in
one of the occupied islands of the Japanese, and they did the forensics on it, and it's and the forensic results were that it's very likely that it is them, which means she didn't die in the plane crash.
Okay, there could be a couple of things. Do you know she had a, if she was flying a very modern aircraft that they fixed for her, she must have had radio communication that she could talk to naval ships. And if she got in a problem, she could have screamed that she was in trouble. They could have rescued her. She could have landed on an aircraft carrier. The Japs could have caught her and killed her. But then, where was her body at? Don't you think it's time to bring her back?
Well, from what I understand, and I'm not really up to speed on it, but what I did see was that the American government knew that the Japanese had her in custody. She died in Japanese custody, and the reason that the United States government went with the narrative that she was lost and never to be found is because they were making reparations with the Japanese, and if the American people would have known that the Japanese had her in custody, that would have really ticked them off. So the United States government opted to not tell anybody.
Anyway, so, you see me find that book on interlibrary loan, and it's an eye-opener. It's got a lot of stuff in it. That part of the story should be told. Joel Klass told it in 1990. I think I can support in that book he said that he saw her somewhere. And it's possibly brought her back on a witness protection program. Maybe the Japs did shoot her and kill her, but where's the body at? It needs to be solved.
Lots of unanswered questions, Ken, and I'm not the guy to answer them. I'm the guy that's going to watch History Channel Sunday night.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thanks
for the call, man. Some breaking news here, folks. I just wanted to affirm this. The United States and Russia have reportedly agreed on a ceasefire for the war-torn region of Syria. U.S. officials told the media as President Trump meets with Russian President Vladimir Putin in person. And although the details of the ceasefire have yet to be released, it's known that it will take effect Sunday at noon Damascus time, according to ANP. And prior to Trump's meeting with Putin, Secretary of State Rex Tillerson said the U.S. was open to working together with Russia in Syria. The U.S. is prepared to explore the possibility of establishing with Russia joint mechanisms for ensuring stability, including no-fly zones, on-the-ground ceasefire observers, and coordinated delivery of humanitarian assistance, he stated on Wednesday. If our two countries work together to establish stability on the ground, it will lay a foundation for progress on the settlement of Syria's political issue. Earlier this in the week, Syria's military had said that it was halting combat operations in the south of Syria for 4 days in advance of a new round of Russia-sponsored talks in Astana. That move covered southern provinces of Daraa, Quneitra, and Sweida. Syria's government briefly extended that unilateral ceasefire, which is now set to expire Saturday, a day before the U.S. and Russia deal would take effect. The new agreement, to be announced Friday, will be open-ended. One U.S. official said, describing it as part of a broader U.S. discussion with Russia on trying to lower violence in the war-ravaged country. An official said the U.S. and Russia were still working out the details as Trump and Putin concluded their more than two-hour meeting on Friday. That's good news, folks. We'll be back after the break. See you in a few minutes.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
It's time for you to have your own custom smartphone app for your business and pay way less than you can imagine. Introducing the I Can Get To Silent Salesman mobile marketing app, a global mobile marketing and communication tool for your business. Go to appsapart.com and learn how you could earn up to $36,351 or more per month just by inviting two people or less into a $14.95 per month program. Go to appsapart.com and be sure to watch the video at the top of the site and listen to the audio message from the CEO near the bottom. This is something you won't want to miss. Go to appsapart.com now or call 646-860-9540. That's 646-860-9540. Get the I Can Get To. That's ICANGET, the number 2, Silent Salesman App at appsapart.com. That's APPSAPART.com.
Okay, nurse, let's get this man to the ER stat.
Right away, doctor.
We see this every day. Heart attack or angina pain due to blocked and clogged arteries. Chelation can remove obstructions or blockages from arteries and help avoid painful and expensive surgery. Now there's Angioprim. It's a liquid oral chelation product that you take with juice. You start to feel the results fast. Angioprim increases blood flow all over the body, and that means more energy and strength to take on the day with less aches and pains. 60 years of research has gone into chelation. And Angioprim is the result, a safe and easy way to unblock your veins and arteries from buildup that slow circulation.
Paging Dr. Jones, please report to the emergency room right away.
Log on now for a special radio offer from Angioprim. That's angioprim.com/radio. A-N-G-I-O-P-R-I-M. Angioprim.com/radio or call 877-882-7221. That's 877-882-7221.
Extendivite. A 7-herb combination of garlic, cayenne, hawthorn, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, valerian, and milk thistle. Extendivite is designed to strengthen the heart and arteries and help the body heal itself. Doctors are not able to explain the improvements they are seeing in their patients' health who are taking Extendivite. People who once needed more pills are now taking less and getting better. Due to the unexplainable improvements in their patients' health, more doctors are calling to order Extendivite for themselves. Help Extendivite make your doctor a believer. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AirOutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more, plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
From the Valley of the Sun. Phone lines are open, 800-313-9443 throughout the show. Continuing with this, I'm just about done. Breaking news that I guess there is going to be a ceasefire in some part of Syria. Well, it was no coincidence that the two countries reached a deal after Trump talked to Putin in person at the G20 summit in Hamburg, Germany. The two leaders met for over 2 hours today, despite the meeting only scheduled for 30 minutes, which indicates that Trump took advantage of the in-person meeting to make a deal with Putin and hammer out the details of the ceasefire. And as I said, that's good news. You know, maybe, just maybe, in spite of all this leftist garbage and craziness, maybe Trump can actually at least get a few things done. So that said, during the break, I was snooping around at my emails, and Pat in Arkansas gives me a important breaking news headline for July 7th. So during the break, I said, okay, it's important news. It must be something major. And I clicked on it, and I got about 19 seconds in it. And the important news is a local cop replaces a carpenter's tools after they're stolen from his truck. Okay. So I don't think I'm going to continue. It's 24 minutes of news. I don't think I'm going to go there right now. But let's get back to this mercenary situation. Are you aware that 75% of the United States forces in Afghanistan are contracted? So when they tell you
that, you know, they've got 5,000 troops in Afghanistan or 10,000 or whatever, you can multiply that times four, because 75% of who's over there are contractors. Only about 10% of these contractors are armed, but this matters not. The greater point is that America is waging war largely via contractors, and United States combat forces would be impotent without them. Now, if this trend continues, we might see 80 or 90% of the force contracted in future wars. Contracting is big business, too. And by the way, I might add that they pay the contractors a lot more than they pay the soldiers. It's big business. In the 2014 fiscal year, the Pentagon obligated $285 billion, that's billion with a B, to federal contracts, more money than all other government agencies received. You don't hear a word about this. It's all crickets on mainstream news, folks. More money than all government agencies received combined. That's equal to 8% of federal spending and 3.5 times Britain's entire defense budget. About 45% of those contracts were for services, including private military contractors. This means that the contractors are making the ultimate sacrifice. And today, more contractors are killed in combat than soldiers. A stunning turnaround from the start of the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan, when fewer than 10% of casualties were contractors. By 2010, more contractors were dying than the troops. However, the real number of contractor deaths versus the official tally remains unknown. And even more troubling than that, folks, most of those fighting for the United States abroad aren't even Americans. Private military companies are multinational corporations that recruit globally. He goes on to say when he worked in the industry, his colleagues came from almost every continent. And according to a recent Pentagon report, just over 33% of private military contractors in Afghanistan are U.S. citizens. How many of you out there knew that? I didn't know that. Many of the larger private military companies also hire local subs or subcontractors, often invisible to United States government officials and reporters. In 2010, during the height of the wars, a Senate investigation found evidence that these subs or subcontractors were linked to murder, kidnapping, bribery, and anti-coalition activities. And similarly, in the 2010 report titled Warlord Inc., the House of Representatives found that the Department of Defense had hired warlords for security services. And what happens to these subs when the big contractor goes home? In some notable alarming cases, they go into business for themselves, breeding mercenary markets in the wake of a U.S. intervention. How interesting. The United States has developed a dependency on the private sector to wage war. A strategic vulnerability. Today, America can no longer go to war without the private sector. For example, a United States Senate investigation in 2010 found that the British private military company Armor Group, Armor Group subcontracted two Afghan military companies that called it Mr. White and Mr. Pink to provide a guard force. The investigation found evidence that they were linked to murder, kidnapping, bribery, and anti-coalition activities. Now, giving birth to such markets is just one of many ways that contractors encourage dangerous policymaking. And unlike the Pentagon or the CIA, private military companies do not report to Congress, circumventing democratic accountability of the armed forces. And worse, they shield themselves from inquiry by invoking the need to protect proprietary information and are not subject to Freedom of Information Act requests, unlike the military or intelligence community. This makes them ideal for dangerous missions requiring plausible deniability. Sometimes even Congress can't find out what these firms do. Now, this effectively lowers the barriers of entry into conflict, inviting moral hazard. Take, for example, Obama's strategy to defeat the Islamic State, essentially a light footprint campaign that well, theoretically, involves few ground troops. It eschews the Bush administration's big and costly military presence overseas, and it shuns the quagmire of nation building. Instead, in theaters ranging from the Middle East to South Asia, it relies on precision strikes from U.S. aircraft, clandestine ground units, and local allies. However, you cannot hold ground with airplanes, special forces raids, and unreliable partners. Terrorists will return once U.S. forces leave. This means you can never achieve victory, which is not what they want, of course, when your victory conditions are deter and defeat ISIS. You can never. They don't want to achieve victory, because as long as those contractors are working, as long as those defense contractors and Raytheon and Boeing and DynCorp and all these people are dropping bombs or making new bombs, and it's cha-ching, 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 the money keeps flowing. And by the way, those stocks keep going up, and all those politicians are reaping rewards with their dividends on those things. In response, the Obama administration has quietly accelerated deployments from an initial 274 troops sent to Iraq in 2014. The White House has crept up to 4,647 troops, the maximum allowed under the current troop cap. But these troops are only half of the story, because the United States government has surged another 4,970 contractors onto the ground, and a footprint of nearly 10,000 doesn't look so light. Contractors, then, allow policyholders to wage war outside of the public eye. Their deaths rarely attract headlines the way those of fallen American soldiers do, and yet the consequences are no less far-reaching for being hidden. America's reliance on contractors to fight its wars has launched a new breed of mercenary around the world. 2015 saw major mercenary activity in Yemen, Nigeria, Ukraine, Syria, and possibly Iraq. Mercenaries in these places are not new. What is new is the increased size and expanded scope of their work. For example, in Nigeria, they pushed out Boko Haram, an Islamic terrorist group, in a few months. The Nigerian military could not achieve this in 6 years. No international law exists to regulate the mercenary industry. What we're left with, if anyone with enough money can wage war for any reason they want to, then new superpowers will emerge. The ultra-rich and multinational corporations, oil companies, and oligarchs should not have armies at all, yet they do. And here's another scary thought, folks. You know, they say everybody has their price. And if you can print this money, if you're funding both sides of a war, and it doesn't make any difference how much money you print because everybody's got their price, okay, they can print as much as they want, they can pay the mercenaries as much as they want, and they can have as many mercenaries as they want, because offer somebody enough money and they're going to step up to the plate and take the risks. So, that said, let me shift gears here. I'm going to jump on to another quick article that I ran across. I'm just kind of doinking around here, folks. Hashing different things tonight. But this one I ran across, which was rather interesting, that may or may not come to Podesta. Talking about John Podesta, John Podesta actually had the audacity to come out and bash Donald Trump, you know. And what was it that Andrew Breitbart said many years ago? John Podesta, what's in your closet? John Podesta, Hillary Clinton's former campaign chairman, admonished President Trump in a flurry of tweets today after the president said Podesta and Democratic National Committee email leaks were the talk of the group of 20 meeting in Germany. In the series of tweets, Podesta recalled being on a road trip with his wife Friday morning when he became aware of Trump's early morning Twitter post mentioning him. He had said in one of his tweets that he was on a country road trip with his wife, and he said he pulled in for a pit stop in East Fairmont, West Virginia, to see that our, quote, whack job president of the United States is tweeting about me at the G20. Trump claimed earlier on Friday that everyone in Hamburg, where the G20 summit is being held, is talking about why John Podesta refused to give the DNC server to the FBI and the CIA. Podesta had nothing to do with the breach at the DNC last summer that led to the release of droves of Democratic Party officials' emails, and the former Clinton campaign chair's emails were leaked months later in a separate breach. So Podesta accused Trump of refusing to accept the U.S. intelligence community's conclusions that the Russian government sought to influence the 2016 election in his favor by launching a hacking effort aimed at politically damaging Clinton's campaign. Isn't it amazing that they continue to cling to this lie? Okay. John Podesta is still saying, oh, the Russian government sought to influence the 2016 election. They all know it's bunk, but yet they keep spouting it out there, thinking if we say it enough times, people are going to start believing it. He goes on to say, get a grip, man. He's talking to Donald Trump. Get a grip, man. The Russians committed a crime when they stole my emails to help you get elected president. What a joke. Let's see. I don't know why they're repeating all these twice. He also goes on, maybe you might try to find a way to mention that to President Putin. And he said, oh, and by the way, and this is John Podesta tweeting, I had nothing to do with the DNC. Podesta finished off his broadside against Trump by urging him to focus on the G20 summit rather than commenting on the ongoing controversy surrounding his administration back in Washington. Okay, looks like I've got a phone call here. Let's see. Who would that be? Oh, I got two of them. Okay. Jared, you'll be second. Susie in Arkansas, you're first. Go ahead. How are you?
Good. How are you, Michael?
I'm doing well. Thank you. I'm doing well.
I'll make it fast. You were just talking about the paying the mercenaries and all that.
Yes.
You know, back in the time of the Egyptian pharaohs, etc.
Uh-huh.
The Nubians, first of all, the Nubians were slaves. And then the Nubians became their private army, and they paid them. And they got fat and lazy and very affluent and so forth, like this country has become. And then now we're on the decline. And then when the old pharaoh died and the young pharaoh hadn't really established himself really well, the Nubians marched up and took over Egypt. And that's when Egypt became, within 75 years, was a mulatto nation.
Wow. Well, I hope history doesn't repeat itself, Susie. You know,
you and me both, buddy.
Thank you. Well, thank you. All right, let's go to Jared in Louisiana. Jared, you're on with Michael. How are you?
How's it going?
Good. How are you?
Hey, you were talking about breaking news of the, you said Trump and Putin negotiated a ceasefire in Syria?
Yeah, starting Sunday, a certain section of Syria, yes.
All right, but my question is, how can they do that when we're not openly fighting Russia? And what are we going to tell our other mercenaries, ISIS, to stop firing on Assad's forces and Israel to stop blowing up their things?
That's a good question. The only thing I'm saying is that, you know, whatever ceasefire in whatever portion of the country is a step in the right direction, okay? And the left is going crazy over the fact that Donald Trump actually had, you know, that long of a meeting with Putin to begin with, because it kind of, you know, it could shoot their narrative in the foot, because they're still going back to the old narrative of the 80s that Russia is the bad guy and they're the demons and blah, blah, blah. Well, Russia isn't. Russia is like the United States was 20 years ago, and they have more freedoms than we do. It's a completely different government over there than it was before the wall crumbled.
Right. So, I agree with that. I was just curious about the other angle with
That's a good question, and that remains to be seen, Jared. I can't answer that question for you. I think that probably is part of the reason why the left is jumping all over themselves with their panties in a bunch. I don't know. But, you know, we'll just have to wait and see how it plays out.
All right. Thank you for taking my call.
All right. Thank you, Jared. I appreciate the call. Okay, so let's get back to Podesta. Podesta says to Trump, God only knows what you'll be raving about on Twitter by the time we get to Utah. let's see. Oh, and then he goes on to say, dude, he's calling President Trump, dude, get your head in the game. You're representing the U.S. at the G20. Trump has become increasingly critical of former President Barack Obama and other Democrats in recent weeks, arguing that party leaders and government officials failed to address Russian meddling in the election after being made aware of the efforts last August. Yeah, because they didn't meddle in the elections. Hello? A special counsel and numerous congressional committees are currently investigating the Kremlin's role in the election, wasting taxpayers' money, I might add, as well as possible collusion between Trump's campaign and Russian officials. Trump has denied the allegations of collusion and has cast the investigation as a cloud hanging over his administration. Do you think? Okay. So there's so much for Podesta. Let's get back to you. No, I don't want to go there because I would have to watch it first to pick out what I would want to. Let's go to meanness. How's that? Let's see. Oh, another shout out to Pat in Arkansas. Okay. She sent me this one. Meanness. A couple weeks ago, the reporting was filled with reports that you have described the White House health care bill as mean. Now, if you think that bill is mean, you are not even close to being in the same ballpark as the bulk of your countrymen. There is no such meanness that has been directed towards Americans in congressional legislation and executive actions already on the books. That whatever you see in the House's health care bill is no more a drop in the bucket of accumulated and deliberate national government meanness towards Americans. In terms of health care, there is not much meanness in either bill. And I'm not ready to make nice. So there's the music. We'll be back in three. Michael Herzog, The American Awakening. See you on the other side. It's too late to make it right. I probably wouldn't if I could. Cause I'm mad as hell. Can't bring myself to do what it is you think I
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855, the number 2, keep it today.
The new word on the street is bloated. Yeah, you eat this food, GMO, herbicide, pesticide, foods aren't safe anymore. And then we eat them and we're bloated. Our stomach says, no, no, no more, Seymour. So what we have to do is drink the tea. Are you on the tea? GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. Super strength tea. It will help you with the new word, bloated. You can get it today. Log on to GetTheTea.com.
So, you love talk radio? Then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24/7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you some from Amazon.com. This product is superb. I have been taking it for about a year now, and I can feel my cardiovascular system run like a Swiss watch. I definitely recommend this product for anyone that has high cholesterol, high blood pressure, and heart palpitations, A+. It's potent, but it works. I have been waking up for the past 3 years with numb hands, and a week into using Extendivite, my numb hands seem to have cleared up. My circulation was off, and now it's back on track. So I'm happy. I feel so energized, and I have my husband on it now. My mother-in-law has cholesterol problems, so I bought her a bottle as well. Thank you so much. Love the product. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Extend
folks. We're back with the American Awakening. Michael Herzog, your host. All right, before I get back, there's got a couple of callers on the line. Frank in Winnipeg will be second. Bill in Wisconsin, you're up. How you doing?
Pretty good, Mike. You mentioned John Podesta going crazy about what is going on over there at Hamburg and Trump and Putin.
Yeah,
Sunday night, he has a show on RBN, starts 10 o'clock Central and goes to 1 o'clock in the morning. Anyway, he played a tape of an interview between Podesta and Maria Bartiromi. She's on one of the financial stations on television, and I'll tell you, she was just slamming Podesta left and right on his ties to Russia. Okay, very interesting. If you get an opportunity, you know, put it into your computer and take a look at it.
You said it was
the other
Robert.
Thing,
Wait. You said it was Robert Ravel?
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, I might be off on the last name, but I listen almost every Sunday night. He's got a real good show like yours. Okay, the second thing on this ceasefire, Alex Jones mentioned, you know, hey, this is great, ceasefire. This was something that Assad was going to go along with, and he was going to step down. I don't think he should step down. He's winning that war. What we need to do is stop funding, you know, the so-called ISIS group that's, you know, trying to topple Assad. Cut off the money to them. You're bringing out tremendous information tonight about these contractors, and I'm sure we've got a ton of them over there already. So, you know, if the deal is Assad must step down, that's not good, because then you're going to end up with another Libya and that type of situation.
I didn't hear anything about part of the deal was that Assad stepped down. I don't think
supposedly this was a ceasefire that Russia had done prior to this one that they announced,
okay?
And I don't think the neocons are going to pay any attention to it anyway. And, you know, the people that want to topple Assad are still going to go ahead. And, you know, let's just temper our enthusiasm here a little bit till we see how it plays out.
No, that's what I said earlier. I said, we got to see how it plays out. All right, Bill, thanks for the call. I appreciate it. We're going to go to the break in a minute, but I'm going to bring Frank in Winnipeg up. Frank, you're on with Michael. How you doing?
Hey, to dovetail with what Wisconsin was saying there, go to Vineyard of the Saker. He's got an analysis of today's meeting. It's a whole lot of bupkits, to be honest with you. On the Amelia Earhart thing, go to Rents.com. He's got a big breakdown on this thing that she was literally 3.5 years before the start of World War II.
Right.
And Noonan were arrested.
All right, Frank, let me hold you over. Got to go to the top of the hour break. Hold that thought.
Okay.
We'll be right back. Okay, hold on.
I've paid a price, and I'll keep paying. It is.
time for you to have your own custom smartphone app for your business and pay way less than you can imagine. Introducing the I Can Get To Silent Salesman mobile marketing app, a global mobile marketing and communication tool for your business. Go to appsapart.com and learn how you could earn up to $36,351 or more per month just by inviting two people or less into a $14.95 per month program. Go to appsapart.com and be sure to watch the video at the top of the site and listen to the audio message from the CEO near the bottom. This is something you won't want to miss. Go to appsapart.com now or call 646-860-9540. That's 646-860-9540. Get the I Can Get To. That's ICANGET, the number 2, Silent Salesman app at appsapart.com. That's appsapart.com.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.